Lord's been dealing with me on some things. If you got your Bibles, you'll open up to the book of Acts. And tonight, I generally do not preach from the book of Acts very often because it's a transitional book, and sometimes you get bogged down in a little doctrine there if you're not careful. But in the book of Acts, let me begin with reading in verse 14, and let me share a few thoughts that I have on that the Lord's been dealing with me in the last few days. Acts chapter 8, let me begin verse 14. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, I'll give you a minute, let the pages get through there like you said this morning. A lot rather y'all hear from the Lord than hear from me. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, and when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as it was, he was fallen upon of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, that he might receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God might be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the fault of thine heart might be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." Then Simon said, "Pray ye the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages in Samaria. Let's pray. Father, we do love you and thank you tonight, and I appreciate this opportunity to have an opportunity to preach for you and to stand for you. And I ask you, Father, Lord, I'm needy, kind of tired, been a long day, and so I ask you, Father, Lord, to undergird, help me, fill me now with your Spirit. Give me the words to say that I might help these that sat before me tonight. And we pray it and ask it in the name of Jesus Christ for his sake. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, there's a thing that I've been praying about and dealing with for a long time, and I've been searching for some answers. And the Lord began to show me some things out of this passage. My text particularly is verse 24. It says there, "And Simon said, Pray ye the Lord for me, that none of these things which hath spoken come upon me." I think Simon missed something in the passage. He missed something in the whole conversation because Peter and them didn't say these things were going to come upon you. He already had them. He had a problem. Peter told him there that he was in the bond of iniquity. He was in the gall of bitterness, and then he needed to repent, and his heart wasn't right with God. See, he already had the problem. It wasn't that they were going to come against him or come on him later. And so Simon kind of missed something there. But what I'm concerned in this passage is, and I'm not going to get in a theological argument whether Simon was saved or lost. The Bible says earlier in the passage up there that he believed and he was baptized. But he is a great type in this passage of Scripture of somebody that's operating outside of the realm of the Holy Ghost. He is somebody that's operating in the flesh. And there's all kind of examples of people operating in the flesh. I think we have a lot of Christians a lot of time that name the name of Christ, but yet they operate most of the time in the flesh and not in the Spirit. We're taught in the Word of God in Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8, somewhere in those passages in there, that we are told that we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. And we're supposed to operate and yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, which we are. And incidentally, we have such a good and loving Savior. When He saved us, He gave us the Holy Spirit. If you're here tonight and you're saved and you've trusted Jesus Christ, you've got all the Holy Spirit you need. But the Bible tells us to be ye filled with the Spirit. Like he said this morning, we leak. The difference is how much the Holy Spirit has of us. The Holy Spirit is there, and a lot of times as Christians we grieve Him and kind of push Him aside and don't pay any attention, and we begin to operate in the flesh because that's what we're accustomed to instead of operating in the Spirit. And the sad fact that is because God's been so good to us, we should be operating from the element of victory. Amen. He's given us everything we need to walk in the course of this life in victory in everything. But because we drag up and resurrect an old dead corpse all the time and operate in the flesh more than we operate in the Spirit, we don't always live in victory. We don't always feel victorious. But God, when He saved us and separated our soul and sealed us under the day of redemption by separating us and giving us the Holy Spirit of God, we ought to operate our lives in victory. And we ought to display Him in that light, in victory. But Simon here is a type of a man that is operating in the flesh. And like I said, I've got a whole list of people in the Bible that operate and it showed us examples of things of operating in the flesh. And you say, well, how do you know Christian people like around you? I'm real observant of people, and I watch. Most Christians spend more time operating in the flesh than they do in the Spirit. Amen. And we do. And you say, how do you know? Well, because God give us plenty of examples to find out. He showed us. He give us. The great thing about God, He gives us the Word of God that shows us just who we are. Just brief rundown, if you'll give me just a second. There's some examples, like I said, in the Bible, and these men, they operate on the flesh. Cain was a great type of a man that operated in the flesh. He tried to justify his actions without the blood of Jesus Christ. He's like that young lady that I spoke to this week that she told me the reason that she was saved was because she was a good person. And she was selfless and she lived for other people. And that's all fine and good and dandy, but without the blood of Jesus Christ, doesn't work. Cain is a type of a man operating in the flesh, just counting on and his goodness. He justified himself without the blood. He didn't have a need for like Abel in that offering. The nation of Israel operated throughout the Old Testament a lot of times, and you see them, in a lot of ways like the flesh. But another one is Ishmael. Ishmael operated, he's a man of the flesh. Abraham and Isaac. Isaac was the spiritual type. And Ishmael is the unspiritual or the fleshly type. He had no inheritance. I'm afraid that's where my target's where I'm headed this morning, tonight in this. A lot of Christians are going to get to heaven and they're going to find that their inheritance, the reward in which they could have gained, all going to burn up because they operated in the flesh all their life instead of the Spirit. The 10 spies went in to spy the land. We come back and reported, we can't do it. There's giants in the land. There was only 2 there that just believed God and said, let's go take them. Amen. They're not operating from the element of the promise of victory, but already in defeat. Goliath is a great type of a man that operated in the flesh. And Goliath the giant out there, when David went out to fight him, he mocks. I know a lot of people in operating the flesh that begin to mock the things of God. And around here, like I said, we've got such an incredible spirit and people are desiring to worship God. But there's people in here sit back and say, what are these shouting about? They begin to mock. You say, what are they doing? They're mocking. That's it. Goliath was like that. He mocked and tried to instill that fear in them. He's the type of the flesh in the essence that he scares people from fighting. He used scare tactics and bullying people into not fighting and not, you know, his size and his ability as a man of a war had scared Saul so the place. He says, David, you got no chance against this guy. You know, he's a man of war from his youth. He's there's no way, you know. He'd already scared the whole nation of Israel from even coming to battle against him. But David was a man walking in the Spirit. Said, I'm not going in my strength. He said, listen, I couldn't have whipped the bear, I couldn't have whipped the lion had not God been with me. So the difference is in that man walking in the Spirit and that man walking in the flesh. Saul was a great type of a man in the flesh. Goliath mocked and he scared folks into fighting. He always fights in the valley. How about that? Think about that. He was preaching this morning. He was talking about the battles in the mind. But the battles get the hardest is when you're in the low places of your life, in the valleys. That's when the devil comes to you and begins to talk to you and tries to defeat you, tries to scare you into quitting and making you not fight the good fight. Ahab disguised himself when he went to battle. Real Christian people are real good at disguising themselves. Yeah. They kind of put on a show. Peter was operated sometimes in the type of the flesh. He lied about and even cussed when they would come and they ask him about, did he know this man named Jesus? He denied God. He's operating in the realm of the flesh at that point. Demas loved this present world. Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence. See, the Bible's just, I mean, I could go on and on. There's this whole list. God gives us all kind of examples of men and women and different ones that they operate in the flesh. And you say, why did he display all their sins for us to see, to show us how we operate? Because in the flesh, see, we're just as guilty as they was. The Pharisees put on a spiritual show. Ananias and Sapphira was pretenders, claiming that what they were doing was, you know, they're going to give by what the Holy Ghost had told them to give, and they sold their land. They just pretending. They held back. Just wanted everybody to think they were sold out to God. Judas to sell you out. David would fall into lust. Jacob into stealing the birthright. Robbing, supplanting, as his name suggested, in the flesh. Saul justifies himself of his actions. On and on the Bible, all through that list, goes, and there's men and women that operate in the flesh. And when they do that, and when we do that, we come across to the rest of the world around us as defeated and not victorious. And I was looking at this thing, and a lot of it is looking for the answer. And as God began to deal with me and show me in these passages in the book of Acts, He showed me this Simon, this guy is operating without the power of the Holy Ghost. And He showed me a couple of things in this passage that I think, if you'll bear with me in just a minute and help me tonight, that will help us better get an understanding of how we can operate in victory in the place and where God put us. God's give us everything that we need to be victorious as a Christian. But it requires from us some things. He says in this passage of Scripture in Acts, He says, verse 20, "Thy money perisheth with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." Thou thought that the gift of God might be purchased with money. Let me say the first thing in the essence of you being able to walk in victory and you being able to live a victorious Christian life, the first step, the thing that we have to do and make sure is that our thinking has to be right. Our thinking has to be right. The problem was, he says there, that thou thought this. There was something wrong with Simon's thinking. And because of that, he failed, he saw a great thing. He's not desiring a bad thing. He wanted to be able to give others the Holy Ghost, so to speak. It's not a bad thing. Would God that all our Christians would desire that we'd spread the Holy Ghost. Amen. And in that, when he wanted to be able to do that, but his thinking wasn't right. Turn with me to the book of the Romans just for a minute. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Go with me back a few chapters there in the book of Romans and flip back to chapter 7, I believe it is. And I'm winging this because I don't have any of my notes with me. I'm just having to go by what God's been showing me. And this thing here, he says, I believe what I'm looking for is going to be in chapter 8. No, chapter 7. I'm sorry, I was right the first time. Verse 25. In chapter 7, Paul's dealing with the two natures. And he's dealing with the flesh. And it's a great passage on this thing. And he's, you know, "I do the things that I would not. And I don't do the things that I would." And on and on. And in the end of that chapter there, he says this: "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." The first thing for the step for us to live and breathe and walk in victory in Jesus Christ, we've got to get our thinking right. And that is this, he says there, with the mind. I want to say the first thing is it's going to be up. You're going to have to make the choice to make up your mind that you want to walk in victory in Jesus Christ and to follow Him. You're going to have to make up your mind, and then you're going to, once you make up your mind to serve God with the law, it's going to be your choice. When our God saved us, one of the things that He don't do is He don't make you serve Him. He will let you follow your flesh all the way to the grave. He's not going to make you serve Him. He's not, listen, and He won't do that. He's the perfect gentleman. And when He does that, so it's going to be up to you to make the choice to want to yield yourself enough to the Holy Spirit to have victory in your life. You're going to be your choice. And in that, you're going to have to, like I said a while ago, Simon's type there, it says there that he thought. So that in that, you're going to have to learn to change your mind on some things. You say, what do you mean? Well, the Bible says it's present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's you making a choice to present yourself unto God. We'll say, why? So that you can get your mind renewed. You're going to have to spend some time in the Word of God finding out how God thinks so that you can know that you're yielding to the Spirit of God in you. The Holy Spirit of God will never lead you to do anything that this Bible doesn't tell you to do. I get burnt out on Christians all the time. Well, God led me to do this. And what they're telling you that God led them to do is contrary to the Word of God. God didn't lead them to do that. God didn't lead them to do something contrary to His book, because the Holy Spirit of God, which is had part in the authorship of this book, wrote it down. He's not going contrary to His Word. Our thinking is, this universal movement and all this stuff. Everybody likes to feel good and feel good about themselves and all that stuff, and they go hear all that kind of preaching. And it's the reason they do that is because they want to operate in the flesh and not the Spirit. But God wants us to operate in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. And in that, it's going to be a choice on your part to you to realize that you have a problem in your mind. You have a problem with your thinking. Yes. It took me a long time to figure out, and as I read in the Bible, y'all realize there's a lot of things in the Bible that's contrary to the way we think? That's the problem. And until you make up your mind, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ no matter what it costs me and yield myself to the Word of God and know that the Word of God is right. Amen? See, you follow its thinking instead of your thinking. Once you do that, then you're well on your way to being able to walk in victory in the Christian life. Because then you're willing, once you've chose to follow the Word of God instead of the way you think. In other words, when the Word of God tells you to do something and you say, well, I just don't really like that. When you really don't like it and you're working in the flesh. When you say the Word of God's right and that's the way I'm going to do it because He says it's that way, now you're following the Spirit. It's a difference. It's a difference. You got to make up your mind. That's the reason that one of the tactics of this day and age and the devil is used. As he preached this morning, he uses the element of doubt. First thing the devil ever said out of his mouth, recorded in the Word of God, or second thing, I guess, recorded in the Word of God, outside of Isaiah 14, was, "Yea, hath God said." So what was that for? Doubt. If he can get you to question if God's right or not, he's already defeated you. See, that's one of the things I like here, and you hold up this King James Bible as the Word of God, and it's true and right, and it is. I believe the King James Bible from cover to cover. Every word of it's true. I've read through it over and over and over again. I've never found a mistake. I found every time I thought it was a mistake, I was mistaken. When it comes to showing me how to live, I found out it's right every time. And if you can get that kind of thinking and that kind of mentality, you're a long ways down the road of being able to live a victorious Christian life, following Jesus Christ. And Simon shows us there, he says there that his thinking, he says, thy thoughts are not right. That's what Peter told him. Your thoughts are not right. And if we can get our thoughts lined up and renewed in the Spirit of God, believing what God said and following it, we can have victory. In Acts chapter 8, he said, Thy money perisheth with thee because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. His thinking wasn't right. He says, Thou hast no part nor lot in this matter, for thine heart is not right in the sight of God. His heart wasn't right. The Bible says to keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I've learned this a long time ago. People do what they love to do. Amen. They're just in the essence of operating. You just do what you love to do. You like to do something. That's what you choose to go do it. There's a lot of people tonight are not here tonight because they don't love the church well enough, in essence, to attend. You understand? Not interested in following there because they love something else greater. That's the way that works. We do what we love, or we do what we follow after. We choose things like that. And in that, it says there his heart wasn't right. His heart was fixed on something else. It's obvious in the passage he obviously had an issue with money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. And in that, because he thought that he could use money. And in the past, you know from his history and reading about Simon that he deceived the people with sorcery and magician work and stuff. He controlled people. He liked to have the preeminence. So what's the problem with that? I already give you the example of the opportunities he liked to have the preeminence. He's operating in the flesh. There's a lot of people in the church that love to have the preeminence. They want to be the one that sings the special that, you know, that causes everybody to flood the altar. Now, can I let you in a little secret? If you come up here with an attitude of singing and your desire is that God to flood the altar when you sing, you know what's probably going to happen? Absolutely nothing. There probably won't be anybody touched because you won't be up there to minister. You'll be there to perform. And what we need in churches today are not people that are wanting to perform, but people that are wanting to minister. People that want to do something that people can get help with. I mean, minister to them. We don't. We ought to desire to be a blessing, not to be seen. He wanted the preeminence. He wanted to be able to go around and do what he just saw happen. He wanted to be able to touch them like they touched them. He probably didn't realize what they had to sacrifice to be able to have that ability to do that touch. See, this thing, Jesus Christ said this. He says, if you want to be my disciples, you have to pick up your cross daily and follow me. This thing I'm talking about, by the way, you can come down tonight and believe some of the things that I'm saying. You can make up your mind. You're going to get in the Word of God and you're going to choose to follow Jesus Christ. You're going to get your heart right with God tonight. But let me let you in on a little secret. You'll have to do it again tomorrow too. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. Because it says there to be my disciple, you have to take up my cross daily. This is a battle. This battle that God has left us in this wilderness that we're running around in this wicked world is a battle and a fight, and it's a daily battle that we're going to have to learn to conquer this flesh on a daily basis. You have to keep your heart right on a daily basis. You have to keep your thoughts right on a daily basis. Because without that, we don't operate in victory. We end up operating in the flesh instead of the Spirit. We He tells him there his heart's not right. You've got to keep your heart right. Jesus Christ has made the way possible. He tells us that if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We need to keep our heart right regularly and continually, and keep this idea. We live in a lot of churches and a lot of places. They say, well, you don't have to confess your sins. They're paid for, past, present, and future. And that's true. That's great. That's where He give us the victory. Our sins are paid for. But as far as our fellowship with God's concerned, you better keep your heart right with God. You better learn to keep your sins confessed, because your fellowship with God's the most important thing, ought to be the most important thing in our life. Without fellowship and without being able to walk with Him and to talk with Him, it won't be long that we will be living very defeated. Simon's heart wasn't right. There was something wrong. There was a problem there. We better keep our hearts right with God. He told him there in this passage, he said, repent ye there of this thy wickedness. So what was his wickedness? Well, we won't even have to go through. We've gone through the list. It's wicked. Some, you know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing. Amen? I mean, we're wicked. And in that, he says there, repent therefore of thy wickedness and pray God. That's that confessing. We need to pray and get that thing confessed, and confess our weaknesses and our weakness, and pray for strength and pray for help and guidance and wisdom. And understanding, and you say why? Because if we don't, we'll fall into the same trap tomorrow. My desire is for Christians to be strong in the Lord and in operating in the power of His might, instead of us operating in the power of ourselves. You say why? Because we don't get anything done in the power of ourselves. Pray to God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Now I realize in the book of Acts here, we got that great promise. God will forgive us if we'll come to Him. He said He would. He promised He would. It's not a perhaps for us. Amen. I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. Gall of bitterness is a contempt or a hatred. Being bitter, having that something there in his heart, that bitter heart, bitter spirit, a contempt for the things of God. That's what the gall means. It's a gall of bitterness. It's a contempt for God. You say, well, Christian people don't really have a... If they're saved, they're truly saved, they don't have... I know a lot of Christians have a lot of bitterness against God. See, the problem is a lot of people don't understand, and you don't get... Christians are not exempt from all these troubles and sufferings and problems and that. And because they're not exempt, and unless they learn to walk in victory in Jesus Christ, they can become very embittered and upset and mad with God. Sometimes we go through a lot of heartaches and stuff and loss and suffering. And it's tough. There's some trials in this life are hard to go through. But God don't put us through those trials and those tests, and He don't allow those things to come into our life to destroy us, but to make us better. You better know how God thinks about those trials. God don't let you be tempted or tried so that He can put His finger on you and say, see, I told you you wasn't no good. That's not God's interest or God's love for us at all. God lets us go through that because God wants us to grow up in Him and learn to trust Him and learn to walk with Him and learn to count on Him. God lets us go through all the things and the heartaches and the suffering and the battles and the fights that we go through so that we can learn ourselves to yield to Him, not so that we get mad at Him. Sometimes we think He puts on us more than we can stand. And sometimes I feel that way. I feel like it's just more than I can take. But I found out every day that if I get up and take another step, that God will help me make it. There's no place to quit. Jesus Christ, when He carried the cross, He carried a heavy load. I can't even carry the load of my sin and my guilt. And He carried the sin and the load of every one of us in here and everybody in the whole world. And He took another step. There's a great passage there in the Garden of Gethsemane when that weight began to be bearing down on Him, and He's praying there, if God, if there's any other way to take this from me. And He's there sweating with the drops of blood and it's pouring out. You say, why is that happening? That's where the cup of the wrath of God, of the sin of the world was being poured out upon Him, and He was bearing that upon His back. And the Bible said He went a little further. He went a little further. Sometimes the trials and the heartaches and the things that we have to go through and what it seems like. See, you don't know what God wants to do with you in your trials. I know what He wants to show from you in His trials. He wants to reveal Himself to somebody else. A few years back, I met a young man. He's kind of my... When I get down in the mully grubs and start having struggles and going through there, he's my inspiration. This kind of sounds a little backwards, but I got a video of his testimony where he stood up in the church and testified down there that day. And he had cancer when he was 2 years old. It deformed his face. He's had cancer. Had, I think now 30, at the time, about 30 different operations for cancer throughout his life. He was about 30 years old through all the radiation treatments and everything that he went through. He said there, they told him he never had kids and or never be able to be married and have kids and all that kind of thing. And he was married and he had a young son. And as he stood there and told that testimony, he told about all the things he did, he says this, he's... One of the things he said in all the trials and going through there, he said, "This, I give God my body a long time ago, and whatever He wants to do with it, it's all right with me." And you talking about slapping somebody across the face, that just... I'm sitting here looking at a man that is... I mean, his face is deformed, it's all puffed up, sticking over him, his head's all kind of whopped. Say, what, it's some sort of eye cancer that he had and in the jaw and the mouth. I mean, he looked... rough. People made fun of him, talked about him and all that kind of stuff. And he says, "But I give my life to Jesus Christ, and I whatever God wants to do, this body is fine with me." He says, "The good thing about it is I get to witness to all these Jewish doctors in New York." Because he said, "I go to the best doctors up there. I've been helped out." And he said, "But I get to win a lot of them to the Lord because of my condition." Being a vessel used unto the Lord. You say, why do you watch something like that when you get down and out in the press? I figure out I ain't got any problems. Amen. I don't have any problems. 36 years of an age, just before he went on to be with the Lord, his two-year-old son developed the same cancer that he had when he was two. You say, did he get bitter and mad? No, they stood up together and glorified God. Whew. What a testimony. We can get bitter or we can get better. It's our choice. Amen. It's our choice. All the things that we go through sometimes, the bitterness doesn't do anything but destroy us. He said there, you're in the gall. I see you're in the gall of bitterness. And he wasn't, like I said, it wasn't that it was going to come upon him. It was already there. He just didn't even realize he was bitter. See, sometimes do you well, Christians, to examine in essence in your own heart and the bitterness on the inside and just see what's in there. You say, well, I never get mad at God. You're a liar. I'll just go ahead and tell you. Don't tell me you ain't never got mad at God. Because everything ain't worked out for you just right yet. Not the way you... See, there again, can I go back to the illustration of that thing about if you're going to be my disciple, you have to pick up your cross daily. That thing you have to pick up is a cross. You know what that cross represents? Your will crossing God's. Oh. See, I don't like the cross. See, God, somewhere along the line, if you're going to be a disciple and really follow Him, He's going to cross what you want to see if you're really willing to follow Him. It's where your will and His cross. And if we're not careful, that's where we'll get bitter. Do us well to keep our heart right and following God in His will, not ours. So how you do it? Everything you pray and ask for, it's God's will. Amen. And when God's will doesn't line up with your will, know and understand He's right. And follow Him anyway. Because it's a great thing that I know about our Savior that I've learned over the last 15, 20 years. God's always had my best interest at heart. He loves me so much and He loved us so much that He won't do anything to harm us. His purpose is never to harm us. He always has my best interest at heart. It's kind of like... He's kind of like he's raising kids. If you really love your kids, you'll do for them what's been their best interest. That's what real love is. I counseled with another young couple this afternoon. My son's getting married in a couple of weeks, and I sat down with him and his bride-to-be, and I told them in that service I would use 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in that passage of Scripture, y'all know that well, as they often call it the love chapter. But in your King James Bible, the Bible says it's charity suffereth long. The word is charity. I don't like the new versions. They all change it to love. You say, why? Charity is a much stronger word. You say, why? Because it matches what the love that Jesus Christ had for us. For God so loved the world that He gave. It's a love that you're willing to sacrifice and give. And as I sat and talked with them this afternoon, and I told them, if you are to get married, the love that you have is not like the love of the world. It needs to be the love like unto Jesus Christ had for the church and gave Himself for it. You will have to learn that you're no longer your own, but you belong to each other, and it will be a sacrifice of you giving for the best interest of the other.
Yes. Good.
And when you do that, that love will permanent. That is the love of Christ that we have in us, is to give and sacrifice. And you can't do that if you're bitter and fighting one with another. He said there he was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. The bond of iniquity. The bounds of my sin, before I was saved, I was bound to them. I was in bondage, enslaved to them. Amen? Jesus Christ bought me off the auction block of sin. Amen? And we were bound to them. But even after we're saved and our sins are paid for, judicially all that stuff's took care of. But practically speaking, for us in the Christian life, we still can be bound in our sins. Our sins very often is based on our choices and controls us and how we live. He was bound in iniquity. And because of that, his iniquity was what was controlling him. I've done some work and some counseling, some stuff with some people in there. They get bound. There's young man I've got in my mind and thinking about, and he just can't lay down the bottle. He just saved when he was a kid, but just drifted away from God, and never kept his mind pure and focused on God, and picks up the bottle and it controls him. Everything he does, he thinks he's got to have a drink to do it. He's bound in that iniquity. That iniquity of that alcohol is controlling him. That's, incidentally, if you want a good reason why a Christian shouldn't drink. I don't believe in social drinking. Amen. You say why? You start off socially, it will control you. Eventually. Every sin that I've ever found out that was a sin in the Bible, I found out it has a way of getting a hold of you and controlling you. It puts you in bondage. And the devil would love nothing more than to keep you in bondage all the time. And so that's the reason he puts all this stuff out there. That's the reason it's all so prevalent in our society, and temptations and trying to draw you into to choose to sin against God, because he wants to bind you up. And Simon there, he was bound in iniquity. But I started this whole thing with this, and I'll be through real quick here, I'm desiring for me and for my family and for you tonight that we might walk in the Spirit following Jesus Christ in victory. In victory. You say, where? Down here right now. I'm tired of Christians desiring to wait to have the victory to when they get to heaven. Heaven's going to be great. Amen? Whether you get in by the skin of your teeth or whether you got bunches of rewards, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. But you can have the victory down here now and not have to wait. We need to be walking. You say, why? Because God set it up so that we could be victorious. We operate from the very position. God fixed it in such a way that He give us a way that we can be victorious over our sin. You say, what sin? Any sin you got. You say, how can I be victorious over the bonds of my iniquity? I've really already told you in the passage, you pray to God, you keep those confessed, keep your heart right to God, and most of all, you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and not the flesh. See, You say, well, how do I know it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me and not that? You renew your mind. Do y'all understand? By Simon operating in the flesh, he give us the keys to victory. Yes. He give us the keys to the victory. When you get your mind and start spending time in the Word of God, I don't care who you are. You say you're a Christian and you're saving and you're walking in the Spirit of God and you don't read your Bible, you're a liar. Because if you don't spend time in the Word of God finding out how God thinks, y'all realize this is the mind of Christ? This is how God thinks. You say, well, I don't, there's a lot of that I don't understand. There's a lot of it I don't understand. If I understood all how God thought, we'd be God. We're not. I don't understand everything. But the more time you spend in there, the more you can learn to know Him and how He thinks. We're supposed to, as Christians, to grow up in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We're supposed to grow up in knowledge. We're supposed to add those things to us. When we get saved, we're supposed to spend time by renewing your mind in the Word of God. Spend time listening to the preaching of the Word of God. Spend time listening to the right kind of music. Filling your mind with psalms and hymns. Spiritual things. If you spend all your time in the mind filling your things with worldly things in the mind, you'll never walk in victory in Jesus Christ. We've got to get the thoughts right by spending time in the Word of God. We get our heart right by keeping our sins confessed before God, yielding ourselves to His will. And not ours. Amen? And if we can do that as Christians, not only can we be victorious on the other side, but we can be victorious down here. Be victorious down here. You say, how important it is for us to be victorious down here? Because it's our responsibility to shine the light of Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. We need other people to see Jesus in us. And if all they see is your stinking flesh, they'll never be able to see Jesus. So if you'll operate by walking in the Spirit of God, by renewing your mind to follow the thoughts of Jesus Christ instead of your thoughts, yielding yourself to the Spirit of God, keeping your heart right. When God convicts and deals with you about something, get it right. Don't wait. Don't put it off. When you go through tests and trials, don't allow the bitterness and the anger and stuff to build up in there. You say, why? Because this lost and dying world needs us greater than anything. We live in a wicked day. I mean, I think we're in the last of the last of the last of the last day. I mean, we're so close to the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's unreal. But whether it's next week or beyond me, if it's tonight, but whether it's tonight or next week or 2 years from now, somebody else is going to still need to know the Savior in which we know. And the only way they're going to know that is if we walk in the Spirit, in the victory in which God has positioned us. God positioned us that way by giving us the Holy Spirit the day He saved us. He filled us up. He gave us all of Himself, every bit, the moment you trusted Him. And all He wants you to do is pick up your cross follow Him. Brother Ken, you come on.